and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is a Full Cup Cafe presentation, recorded at our weekly Wednesday night service. So sit back as we dive into tonight's lesson.
This is actually the last one of Small Things, Big Difference, and so we're going to be wrapping it up tonight. And next week, Justin Cardwell is going, the next two Wednesday nights, Justin Cardwell is going to bring us something that's really on his heart and he's passionate about. And so I was going to give him one night. He said, "Hey, can I have two?" And I was like, "Sure, that's fine with me." So he's gonna speak to us the next 2 weeks, and then we'll come back in after that. And we will be looking at the saga of Joseph's life. That's what we'll be doing. So for the next 7 weeks are planned out. But tonight we're finishing up Small Things, Big Difference. And of course, if you remember all the way back in the first week, now if you didn't hear some of these lessons, you can always get on our podcast or on our website, tenthandbroad.org, and you can listen to these lessons. And I know there's several people that are gone tonight because they're in with the parents in there looking at, I think, youth calendar and stuff like that. So somebody's like, "Man, I missed the last lesson." Just remind them, hey, you can go to our website and listen to it. So it should be there. But remember, the kind of the premise of this whole thing is that it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. In other words, if you see somebody that has this great thing, you know, like a great marriage, or you know, maybe they're a spiritually mature Christian, or if they've accomplished, you know, some health at a later age, that maybe it's like maybe not everybody is there, or maybe there's any number of things that you can look at people and be like, "Man, they've accomplished something big." Well, they didn't just accomplish that overnight. It was small things that we didn't see that oftentimes brought them to that place. And we use kind of the age-old progression of the way thoughts, words, actions, habits, you know, all those things, they lead into our destiny. If you think good thoughts, if you say the right words, your words lead to your actions lead to your habit, and your habits lead to your destiny. Now, we spent some time talking about thoughts, and last week, we talked about words. So tonight, we're going to be talking about actions and habits, okay? And when it comes to talking about actions and habits, there's a really dirty word that nobody wants to talk about, right? And the dirty word is discipline, okay? Because if we're going to form good habits, it's going to take some discipline, because you are what you repeatedly do. You know, have you ever seen how that happens? Even if you intend the best things in the world, it doesn't matter what you intend. It matters what you do. You are what you repeatedly do. So if you're constantly condescending towards people and constantly talking down to people, you are a jerk. That's what you are. Even if you intend not to be a jerk, you are. If you never clean your house, you're a slob. even if you intend to clean your house, it's not about what you intend, it's about what you do. If you don't take care of your money, you are a mooch. That's what you become. You become a mooch. Or if you like to gossip, you are a gossiper. Even if you're like, "Man, I didn't want to really talk about that, but it just came out," you're a gossiper. If you look at porn, you're a pervert, even if you don't intend to look at porn. If you're mean, well, you're just a meanie, okay? That's all it is. You're just a meanie. But the reality is that our intentions, they don't mean anything. You know, a lot of times we intend to do certain things, but our intentions are what's graded. It's the what we do, and what we do brings about who we are. So therefore, this word discipline is very, very important. Paul likes to talk about discipline in a lot of his letters. Paul is the apostle Paul that we read about in the New Testament. We hear his story in Acts, and then he becomes this incredible missionary, and he goes around and he plants all these churches in different places, and then he writes them letters. In fact, he wrote many letters to many different congregations, and they make up almost half of our New Testament. So Paul was, he's a pretty prominent figure in the New Testament, and he really likes the idea of discipline. He talks about it all the time through his letters. In fact, we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is one of his main places that he talks about this, but he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? Everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win, he says. Run to win. All athletes, their discipline and their training, they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Run to win. Athletes require great discipline. If they're going to train and get ready for a race, they're not going to train and get ready for a race to place fourth. You know, you train and get ready for a race because you want to win. I'm a very competitive person. I want to win. And Paul says, train that way. You know, train that way in your spiritual walk. Now, take a moment to look at your life. Just think about it. Now, you know, you probably have some places in your life where you're highly disciplined. Hopefully we all have some places where we have succeeded in some areas. You know, maybe we're successful in business, or maybe we're successful in our finances, or maybe we're successful in our marriage, or in raising our kids. But if you're like me, you have some areas where you're not so disciplined. And, you know, you can just take a look and you can be like, okay, yeah. And what do we do oftentimes when we get to that place of non-discipline? We kind of start to complain. You just kind of like, well, you know, I'm just not in good shape, or I'm just, you know, my marriage just stinks, or my relationship with all my coworkers, it's awful. I'm never going to go anywhere in my job because I just can't, you know, fill in the blank. And so we all have that place in our lives where we are just somewhat undisciplined, and we think, well, I just don't have any discipline in that area. But here's the thing about that. You actually do have some disciplines. They're just the wrong ones, right? Because your disciplines are the things that you repeatedly do. And so maybe you're disciplined to sleep in, you know, when you actually should be disciplined to wake up early. Or maybe you're disciplined to check out and play video games. Or maybe you're disciplined to never miss a meal. A lot of us are like that. you know, we all have disciplines. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have any discipline in that area. Well, the reality is you do have discipline. It's just the wrong one. It's just not the one that's needed to change that scenario in your life. So therefore, simply talking about discipline isn't enough, because we all have disciplines, even if we think we don't have any discipline. So therefore, we have to think about something different. And I want you to think about it this way. I want you to think about it as eternal discipline, because that's what Paul says. We're running for an eternal prize. So I want us to think about this as eternal discipline. I just kind of made up this definition. You know, maybe you can add to it and make it better, but this is kind of what I came up with. Eternal discipline is choosing between what you want now and what God wants most. That's what eternal discipline is. Eternal discipline is choosing between what you want now and what God wants most. You know, do I want to watch Netflix, or do I want to clean the house? Do I want to, you know, save and buy high quality, or do I want to buy now and buy junk? You know, do I want to just seethe with anger, which is actually the easier thing to do, just get mad about something? Or am I going to talk to somebody to their face about how they hurt me or offended me, which is not often an easy thing to do? Some of us, that's easy for us because we like confrontation, but most of us, we don't like confrontation. You know, am I going to look at porn now, or am I going to take some time and woo my wife or my husband and make my wife, my marriage better? You know, or am I just going to go for the easy out? And am I going to do Bible reading early in the morning and wake up early, or am I going to sleep in, or am I going to, you know, some people, they're not morning people. I'm a morning person. If I don't get up early, I mean, I'm morning, that's when I can think. After 7 o'clock at night, I can't think. So it's pretty amazing that I'm sitting here talking to you guys right now. Cause at 7 o'clock, I'm like done. You know, even in college, I would come home from school or from work or whatever, and at 7 o'clock, I'd just eat and go to bed, and then I'd wake up at 3 a.m. and do my homework. So, but maybe you're a morning person, but you don't take that time to spend focused on God. Or maybe you're a night owl, but instead of taking that time to spend with God, you instead watch, you know, sports or TV or, you know, whatever, or you do something different. But the reality is that we all struggle with some area. There's not one person in this room that doesn't have an area in their life where they see a lack of discipline or maybe the wrong discipline. And so I kind of just realize that there's just a problem with all of us when it comes to that area. And you can list it. You can name it. You know what your area is. You know where it is that you struggle. And the problem is inconsistency. We just can't be consistent. If you've ever struggled with that, you don't have to raise your hand. Just kind of be like, yeah, that's inconsistency. That is something that I struggle with. And so the big question then is, well, why? Why am I so inconsistent? And this is exactly where that passage that Kevin read speaks to us and tells us why we're so inconsistent. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. Romans 7:15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 18, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. You see, our sin leads us away. Our sin leads us to inconsistency. And then he says what many of us have said at some point in our lives. Maybe you're even saying it to yourself right now. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? In other words, who can help me be consistent? Because that's really the issue here. And Paul goes right into it. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So who can deliver me? It's Jesus. Jesus can deliver me. I mean, with Christ's help, Paul says, we can change. With Christ's help, with Jesus living in us, we can change. And here's the sad thing. There's a lot of Christians that don't really believe that. They don't really believe it. They don't really believe that they can truly change the way they're living now. They can accomplish the small things now that will bring the big things in the future. Some people don't think that they can actually skip past what they want now and go to what God wants most. They just don't believe what Paul says here. They just don't believe it. So I want to give you just a couple suggestions that may will help you get started in this journey in your life. I called it training to win what matters most. Train to win what matters most, because that's a struggle. We all struggle with what we want now versus what God wants most for us. Now, I already mentioned the athletic games. Paul really enjoyed these. He talked about these all the time. And in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, that he's referring to the athletic games that were going on, especially in Corinth. You see, there was the Olympic Games in Greece, but then there was the Isthmian Games that happened in Corinth or near Corinth. And everybody, I mean, these were big. Everybody came out and turned out, you know, to watch these incredible games, kind of like, you know, our TV sets are dominated by the Olympics when they're going on. It was the same idea. And, you know, those Olympic athletes, you see them all over the commercials, you know, they're getting, you know, trying to sell you stuff and things like that. It was the same idea. They looked up to these Olympic athletes, and Paul did too. And all these athletes, they had to go, before they could enter the games, they went through 10 months straight of training. They would leave their families, they would leave their jobs, they would leave everything to go into this 10-month, just intense moment of training. Now, Paul isn't the only one who looks at these games and uses the ideas behind them to make points. The writer of Hebrews also uses these games. And Hebrews, we really don't know who wrote it. There's lots of ideas. Some people say Paul. I know some really good linguists in Greek that say no, because Hebrews is much differently written than Paul's other letters. But anyways, we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. But he also looked up to to these games and to use these games. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews just mentions all these people of faith, all these people who have run the race and done well. He mentions people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Rahab. And if you don't know who those people are, they're all people from the Old Testament who did really, really amazing things. And I can't really go into each of them. But then he says this in Hebrews 12:1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, all these people who did incredible things because of their faith, the huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You see, he's using this idea of the race. And one version, you know, this version says to strip off everything that that trips us up. Well, another version says everything that hinders us. And so what I want to encourage you in your run, as you begin this movement into hopefully the small things that make a big difference later, I want to encourage you to do what the Hebrew writer says, which is strip off everything that hinders. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation puts this, because it actually captures what the ancient athletes did. Because does anybody know how those ancient athletes competed? They had no clothes on. They had absolutely no clothes on, which would be a huge motivation to get first, okay? That's at least for me anyway. But, I mean, these guys would literally strip off everything. They didn't want anything to hinder, anything to get in their way. And so the question is, well, what's hindering you? What's hindering you from training for the things that matter most? What hinders you? What gets in your way? Why is it that's holding you back? I mean, is it the right crowd around you? You want to be around the right people, even though they kind of lead you in the wrong direction? Or maybe it's, you know, entertainment options. You just want to do that. Or maybe, I love tasting food and sweets, and, you know, or is it comfort, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of things that can hinder us from taking the step, from jumping into the race. And so you've got to answer that. You've got to answer, what hinders me? What keeps me from getting into the race and starting the small things that will make big things later? And so these athletes, they would go into these 10 months of training, and they would literally strip everything away from themselves. Like I said, their families out of the picture, their jobs out of the picture. A lot of times they were young men. They didn't have families and jobs anyway. They were just incredible athletes, and they were taken away from everything. 10 months of training, and they would, you know, no wine, no junk food, only the healthiest stuff. They would endure long bouts of cold, long bouts of hot, because they thought that would make them able to endure the rigors of the sport more. And then Paul points this out in 1 Corinthians 9:25. He says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Their prize, all they got was a wreath of green leaves and some patriotic pride. That's all they got. And if you think about it, every single thing that hinders us from, that causes us to choose what we want now versus what God wants most, every single thing that we want now is a wreath of green leaves. It's junk. It's junk. It doesn't last. You can't take it with you. We can't take any of this stuff with us. And Paul's like, get your focus out of this earth and off of the things that just fade away, and focus on the thing that lasts forever. Focus on the thing that lasts forever. You know, that's probably the hardest thing for us as human beings, because we're so entrenched in this stuff and in this flesh and in, you know, all these physical things. We're so entrenched in that stuff. And Paul's like, get your focus off of that. Focus on Jesus and the prize that's going to last forever. I mean, if we can just truly weigh those things that are hindering us and say, okay, what's this worth versus a prize that lasts forever? I mean, if we can just honestly ask ourselves that question, I think the decision maybe won't be quite as hard. And then Paul goes on. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. I discipline my body like an athlete in training it to do what it should. So he's not, you know, he's not shadow boxing. He's not, you know, just pretending to go. He's not, it's a real fight. He realizes this is for real. And so I'm training myself like an athlete. In other words, I have stripped everything away and I've focused on the prize. So therefore, I will not simply be disciplined. I will be eternal disciplined. Because here's the thing, we all have these tendencies to be undisciplined. We just do. You know, a friend of mine let me hunt on his property, and he asked me to take my feeder off. And I kept making these excuses why I couldn't do it, and it actually ended up staying there an entire year. My deer feeder sitting out in his field, I have that tendency. We all have that tendency. We have that tendency to just push it off, and we don't really truly. I mean, you know, I was kind of holding our friendship in the balance. If you think about it, you know, he asked me to do something, I didn't do it, so therefore, you know, I was acting like the trouble of going and get my deer feeder was more important than my friendship with him. And we do the same thing with God. We do the same thing with looking at this life versus the eternality of living with God forever. And sometimes we hold this life up like it's more important somehow. And Paul's trying to point us to realize, no, that's not the way it is. And so he points out that, you know, the Spirit who dwells in me, it's going to help. He's going to help me choose what matters most to God over what I want now. You know, he reminds us through the conscience that's been shaped by, you know, hearing God's word proclaimed or reading it for ourselves or being around spiritually minded people and having deep relationships with mature Christians who can speak into our lives and show us the maturity and the strength that only comes through the Spirit and his word. You got to be at church. You got to be with God's people. You got to hear God's word taught and proclaimed. And you have to learn God's word in community. I mean, God's word was always written to communities. You know, communities of people who struggled and wrestled with it and tried to apply it to their lives together. If you try to do it on your own, it just doesn't make sense. You need that community of people. So the question for you tonight is, what does God want for you? What does God want for you? I mean, what does God want most for you? And here's the thing. That's not a hard question. It's not a hard question. You don't even have to be that Christian of a person or even that churchy of a person to answer what does God want for you. All you got to know is that God loves you, cares for you, wants the best for you. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to be healthy so you can be with your family, with your kids. And, you know, he wants you to quit that bad habit. He wants you to be somebody who is involved and part of his church. He wants you to be close to him. He wants you to be free from porn and out of debt. I mean, those are simple things that we can see throughout Scripture that, you know, it's not a hard question. What does God want for you? And so the question that we've got to answer after that is, you know, so what does God want for me? What's the one thing that God wants for me? So what's my eternal discipline going to be? What's the thing that I'm going to start doing now that leads me to eternity rather than what I want now? What's my eternal discipline? What do you need to do now to have what God wants most for you? I mean, maybe you need to hire a trainer. Maybe you need to join, you know, some kind of club that challenges you to get healthy. Maybe you need to pick, pull out your. I mean, most people read their Bible. How many people read their Bible regularly on their phones or their electronic device? So, I mean, pick up YouVersion. It's a free Bible app, and there's a little thing where you can start a reading plan on YouVersion. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to commit to a date night with your spouse. Maybe you need to pray with a person or a friend or or a relation, you know, some relation on a regular basis. Maybe you need to start praying with your kids and for your kids. Maybe you need to take a Dave Ramsey class. Maybe you need to join a life group so you can build those connections that will push you towards eternity rather than having the connections that bring you down to this earth. Maybe you need to delete some stuff on your phone, some apps that take you away from wherever you are. Or maybe you need to get some accountability software on your computer because you can't control yourself. I mean, what's going to be your eternal bliss, eternal discipline, the small thing that you do now that nobody really sees that accomplishes the big thing that God truly wants for you? So the first 3 weeks, I encourage you to choose an area, to choose a word. And then the second week, I encourage you to choose a thought that you're going to capture, that you're going to bring under the power of God's word and God's spirit. Last week, I encouraged you to make a statement that, words that were going to lead you down the right path. Tonight, I want you to answer, what does God want most for you? And then I want you to answer, put in there, what's the discipline? What is the spiritual discipline that I'm going to choose right now? Now, don't pick a bunch of stuff. if you choose like 5-10 things, you know, it's going to be tough. Start one thing at a time and allow the power of God's Spirit to do what He does. So with the power of God's Spirit, I'm going to do now what will help me achieve what God wants most. And I have to realize that my thoughts matter. My thoughts matter because my life is always going to go in the direction of my strongest thoughts. And I also have to realize that the thoughts that lead to words, my words have the power of life and death. You know, that's what the guy who wrote Proverbs, one of the wisest people in the world, says, my words have the power of life and death. Therefore, I must change the words that I speak to others and to myself. And then I run to win with purpose in every step. And I discipline my body to do what God meant for it to do, because I am what I repeatedly do. And with Christ's help, I will choose what God wants most over what I want now. And people will look and they will not see the small things, but they will see and notice the big difference. And we can accomplish that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for just the power of your word. God, we thank you for people like Paul and the writer of Hebrews, whose words were preserved, whose spirit-inspired words were preserved so that we can learn, so that we can accomplish and do what you want us to do. And God, I pray that this would not be one of those messages that somebody just hears and then just lets it roll off their backs. God, I pray that the words that I spoke that were faithful to you and faithful to your spirit would sink in, and that they would penetrate, and that people's spirits and hearts would be softened, and that their lives would be changed. God, we know that that's what you want for us. We know that you want us to be a people wholeheartedly committed to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand for a last song.
Dangerous. Especially when, you know, your kid wakes up and makes a big mess on the table. You know, this has happened at my house sometimes. One time I turned the blender on and Brighton like just smacked his bowl of cereal and it flew everywhere. I didn't even know it. Jen was cleaning it up. And then when I turned around, she's like, "Hey, you scared him." All right. You know, what is it that morning that you wake up and, you know, your power's out and everything's going wrong? I mean, what's going to happen? Are you going to be somebody who wakes up and your focus is on spiritual things? Or are you just going to be a reactor? Or do you see God everywhere in your life? Do you see ministry opportunities in the people at work or places where you can meet needs? You know, some of us are this way. I mean, some of us are people who see God everywhere. Some of us are people who wake up at you know, and just focus on God. But other of us are just kind of party poopers. You know, we just poop the party. It's just the way we are. But here's the thing. Churches can't have party poopers. Okay? We can't. It's just, we can't. We are on mission. We have been called to something greater than just our little insignificant issues in life. We've been called to a mission that really seriously affects the entire world. You know, if Christians everywhere will do what Jesus calls, we will change the world. We will change the world. I mean, we can start right here in Wichita Falls, but we're called on a mission, and we have to fix our thoughts on spiritual things for that mission to be accomplished. So last week, I know I've got to hurry. Last week, I asked you to choose one area. I asked you to choose one word. And I know a lot of times we like to pick things like getting out of debt or losing weight or, you know, maybe, I understand that. That's kind of where we are. But what if we pick something that will not just affect me? What if we pick something that will affect my family? Or what if we pick something that will affect my university? Or what if we pick something that will affect my job place? What if we pick something that was going to be very significant? And then you changed your slice of the world right here in Wichita Falls. And then when you pick that place, run in such a way as to get the prize. That's what Paul calls us to do. Run in such a way to get the prize. So I asked you to choose one area and one word last week, and tonight I want you to choose one thought. One thought that is leading you on a destructive course. Maybe it's leading toward destruction of your family, destruction of fill in the blank, destruction of a relationship, whatever. Choose that one thought. And then this week your homework is to find the scripture, the weapon that overcomes that. And I want you to replace that thought with that scripture. All right. That's all I got. Let's have a prayer and we'll be done. Lord, I'm so thankful for just the incredible wisdom that we read in Scripture. So thankful for Paul and just the way he has revealed these things to us. And Lord, I pray that you would give the people in this room strength as they seek to change their destiny. God, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.